Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 216. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. We're middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going tonight?
No dentistry jokes with 216.
No.
There's nothing.
No jokes. 216 doesn't work for anything.
There'll be no laughing.
It doesn't work for anything.
No.
I'm 216 for me.
he's going to find something, right?
In tarnation.
Sheesh. You know the song he's referring to, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I've heard.
Right, set,
like, Fred. I don't know.
I know exactly.
I'm older than you.
You're like, what the heck? I just got all kind of mental pictures.
My shirt. Oh.
Don't challenge
too
me.
Too sexy, it hurts. Oh, God. I know the whole song, but I hate it.
Model.
I know what I mean.
Oh. I do my little turn on the catwalk.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's what this episode has become, right?
Oh,
sing along.
Oh, creepies. This is what you get.
Are we getting tired? What
you get. Did you hear that?
Slap happy.
Everybody turned it up louder.
Oh, I bet they did.
They're jamming.
I can see that right now.
Yeah, everybody.
I bet they are.
I have not heard that song in ages.
The Mako Boy singing Right Set Fred.
I'm gonna keep it that way.
I'm too sexy. Right Set Fred, yeah. I'm too sexy for my mic.
For this song.
Too sexy for my mic.
Remember at the end?
For this song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what a horrible song.
It's terrible.
But it's catchy. So bad, but catchy.
So bad.
It's so catchy. Bad that we're singing half bad. The song.
Oh, yeah. So that's catchy. They got something right.
Talk about a, I don't know if it's a one-hit wonder or one-hit something.
One something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It made me want to hit the radio.
Plug your ears, maybe, right?
Yeah, right. I just remember the video, too. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Mesh shirt.
Mesh shirt,
that's
yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yep. Good old days.
Whatever made Shredda, you think of that?
Right up.
I'm 216.
I don't know how he pulled that one.
I have no idea, man.
How he correlated those two.
Lack of sleep, baby. Lack of sleep.
I don't know. It makes just happened.
Slap. Tell me about it. I hope I sleep tonight.
Slap happy.
Haven't slept in 4 or 5 nights. Anyway, yes, we are here at the Mini 216, so.
We'll never forget
you're,
that.
You're welcome, creepies, for that little side.
Interlude, we'll call it.
Yeah, something. Inter something.
Yeah. Inter Sandman.
Look in our... Look in our brains.
Don't just take a peek. Don't spend too much time. You might get lost.
No, that's not for the faint of heart. Our brain.
No.
Before we get too crazy with it, let's get to the topic, shall we, Sean?
We shall, and this is your pick, and it is the Oliver House in Boston. And if interested, please go check our show notes for the source links we used for this topic.
You got it.
And you said how many? You know how many Oliver Houses there are? A lot. There are several.
And I defaulted to Boston, of
yes,
course. So.
The Boston. Well, this one's a fantastic one, right? A little bit of foundation. It is the Peter Oliver House in Middleborough, Massachusetts, which must be on the outskirts of Boston. A historic Georgian-style mansion built in 1769 is renowned for its alleged paranormal activity and is often referred to as one of New England's most haunted sites. Originally constructed as a wedding gift for Dr. Peter Oliver and his wife, Sally Hutchison, the house was occupied by a loyalist family during the American Revolution, leading to its seizure by the Sons of Liberty in 1774, who sold it to fund the revolutionary cause. So it's a very historical place.
Very, very, yep. Very, very.
Turbulent history.
Mm-hmm.
It's history.
Underground Railroad is linked into it.
History begins... during the origins of the Revolutionary War.
Uh-huh.
So it's definitely old.
Yeah, built in 1769. That's a long way. A long time ago. Yeah. Georgian style.
It's
I like
funny
that.
How
Georgian.
It was loyalists, and then they were, you mm-hmm. know, it went into like... It so the guy that was... I watched a good video, and he was talking about the history of it and how it's gone, you know, it went from... revolutionaries and then the Underground Railroad and everything. And he was, and it's, it, so he was recording and doing his last paranormal investigation in December of 2024. And he said, this may be the last paranormal investigation in the site because, you know, basically ownership was changing hands and he wasn't sure. So that wasn't that long ago. And I didn't see anywhere where, whether, you know, it's still open to the public for paranormal investigations, but he, the, what he was showing, it was so historic and so cool, you know, just like, and he, and you could tell that he had, he said it was his favorite place to do investigations. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says here that Peter Oliver held the prestigious title of Chief Justice of the state's Supreme Court, while his older brother bearing the position of Lieutenant Governor. So
Not Lieutenant Dan.
So
got no legs.
The Olivers were
let's don't get off subject
again. Right.
Come on,
the Olivers were very well known during the time of the build of this home and occupation.
Yeah, says the house has witnessed political turmoil, personal loss, and cultural shifts, all of which have made it one of New England's most haunted sites.
Said a lot of famous people and politicians. Ben Franklin frequented there, so. It's been touched by a lot of...
Been there, Ben Franklin.
Ben, yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. They kind of compare it to the Lizzie Borden house. And like the Lizzie Borden house, they do ghost tours and overnight stays that appeal to the history enthusiast and ghost hunters. That would be fun.
And I hope they still do. I'm sure they do. Like I said, even if it changed this, management and all that kind of stuff, I bet it still is, but...
I don't know when this article was.
I can't imagine they'd ever get rid of the historical factors of it or allow, you know, allowing the public to come in.
With this house, there was actually a larger home by it called Oliver Hall, but it burnt to the ground by the revolutionaries, so it did not survive.
Sad. Darn it.
Well, who haunts the Peter Oliver house? Who is Peter Oliver? The Oliver house is said to be haunted by a host of spirits, including members of the Oliver and Sproat families, a sorrowful chambermaid and her fiancé, lost children, and even the restless souls of the Wampanoag people. Visitors and investigators frequently report seeing full-body apparitions, hearing disembodied voices, and experiencing unexplained cold spots throughout the home. Among the most famous spirits is Bethania Sproat, whose life of loss and heartbreak is said to linger in the house to this day. How about that?
Yeah, it says you can get a lot of EVPs. There was one that came in loud and clear. One investigator reported hearing the phrase "get out" prominently in her audio while in the basement, so she promptly obliged and ran upstairs.
Like, yeah. See you later.
I'm out. Another team visited, and they asked how many spirits were in the house and received the answer of 10.
Didn't sound so bad.
Then also, they left a recorder upstairs and got the recording of a blood-curdling scream.
That's 9 more than the studio, right? You're like, it's hearsay, right? That Bethania Sproat, she lived her entire life in the house and reportedly lost three children there, including her daughter, Abigail, who died in a tragic accident, son James, who died of pneumonia. Her spirit, like you said, along with the children, is believed to linger. That you hear children's laughter and footsteps up and down the stairs. Visitors and staff frequently report unexplained phenomena such as full-bodied apparition, disembodied voices, cold spots, objects moving or falling inexplicably. One of the most documented encounters involves a tour guide, Chris Andrade, who saw a young girl's apparition in a second-floor closet, staring silently before vanishing into the wall. paranormal investigators have recorded, you were talking about this, Nate, recorded electronic, or the EVPs, including a clear get out and a blood-curdling scream, and have captured footage of shadow figures and unexplained movements. The house is also located within the Bridgewater Triangle, a region known for frequent strange occurrences.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very famous, yeah. There's the Ghostly Children. The sorrowful history of childhood loss at the Peter Oliver House is thought to have left a lingering spiritual imprint. Visitors and staff frequently report hearing the faint sounds of children's laughter echoing through empty rooms, the soft patter of small footsteps on the stairs, and fleeting glimpses of young faces peering from behind doors or windows. These playful yet poignant manifestations are believed to be the spirits of Abigail and James Sproat and other children who died in the house over a centuries-long history.
Do you think they're the only children? So those are the children I was talking about too. But you think, I'm sure there's a lot of children that have passed through there though.
Yeah. It says their presence is often felt in the like you said, upstairs bedrooms and hallways, adding a bittersweet layer to the estate's haunted reputation. And then that gives into the apparition in the closet, like you said. I won't read any of that since you already did, but.
This does say that, so that it still is open for paranormal investigations. Like you said, the property, which was acquired by the town of Middleborough in 2015, now operates as a historic site with a bed and breakfast and hosts year-round ghost tours and paranormal investigations. These tours, along with appearances on shows like Paranormal Lockdown and Kindred Spirits, have drawn significant attention from ghost hunters and history enthusiasts alike. The revenue generated from these events is reinvested into the property's preservation, and many volunteers are deeply involved in paranormal research, often becoming believers after working there. I love that about those these different sites. I always think that's cool. They were like, I don't believe in this stuff. And then they spend a little time and they're like, yeah, I believe in this. I read it, you know.
Did you come across how Abigail got
No, injured? I didn't see that. Did you?
Yes. It was an accident. Abigail was just 2 years of age when a kettle of scalding water fell on her, resulting in her unforeseen death.
Oh, no.
Then her son, Earl. Earl's the husband. Sorry. The son, James.
Pneumonia.
Pneumonia, yep.
Pneumonia.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a bad way of going.
It is.
Kettle of scalding water.
Did you guys see the zombie boy in that house?
Mm-mm.
So there is a what they call a zombie boy. The entity known as Zombie Boy is a ghost reportedly associated with the Oliver House in the Middleborough, Massachusetts, which is now a preserved historical museum open for public and ghost tours. Visitors and tour guides have reported various paranormal phenomena in the house, including moving objects, all the things that we've been saying. Some have captured the image of faces in windows, and one of the entities is dubbed Zombie Boy. The origin of his spirit is linked to a modern-day experiment where a group of people, through repeated seance-like sessions, created a fictional character named Zombie Boy with a backstory involving a Civil War hero, father, and a tragic death after falling from a horse. This collective belief and focused intent may have led to the manifestation of interactive paranormal activity. So it's almost like a tulpa, right? Mm-hmm. Suggesting the ghost might be a product of the group's imagination rather than genuine spirit. The house's dark history, including its connection to the American Revolution and the loss of multiple family members over the centuries, contributes to the reputation as one of Massachusetts' most famously haunted locations. The interesting thing is I watched one of the investigations, and they did that. What's it called? The Estes Method.
Yeah.
And the lady was, he was asking questions and trying to talk to Zombie Boy. And he asked, like, is this Zombie Boy? And basically got the acknowledgement. Yes, this is who the entity known as Zombie Boy. And he said, do you like being called that? And it was like, no, I do not like being called that.
Yeah,
so
I
was
like,
you know what I mean?
Like,
yeah. How would you like to be called Zombie Boy?
Zombie Boy.
I've got but the. Oh, I thought ahead, that was. No, I just thought that was real. It's kind of a creepy one, but it is interesting that it may just be all totally like, you know, a spirit that's been conjured out of an imagination.
Yeah. I've got the Wampanoag spirits.
Say that again.
Wampanoag.
Wampanoag.
Far earlier than the Olivers or the Sproats, the land upon which the house stands was home to the Wampanoag tribe. With English settlement and disease, the woods behind the house were used as a cemetery for an estimated 1,500 Native Americans. Many of these visitors have spoken about being watched throughout the tree, among the trees, hearing whispered chanting, or even sensing flashes of black human-like shadows. The strongest and most evocative feelings of unease come from a pair of still apparent Wampanoag burial mounds behind a structure.
Yeah, they said there's an estimated 1,500 Native Americans buried. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I would love to tour this place and do like an overnight.
Absolutely. And it's in Boston, so of course.
Ah, yeah. Why not?
They call it the centerpiece of the Revolutionary War.
Hmm.
I believe that.
Yeah, you were saying, Nate, earlier that EVPs were, you said one was saying, get out.
Mm-hmm.
There's another said they heard a British accent ordering them to get out, and who walks there is another EVP saying, especially downstairs and in the bedrooms. Dark male figures are standing in doorway positions at the top of the stairs. Hmm. Yeah. Oliver House has a lot of activity, it seems. It
says historically dense in its, in its stories. Records indicate that the present Oliver House was called the small Oliver House, and it was adjacent to, like you were talking about, Nate, to Judge Oliver's larger home, Oliver Hall. Unfortunately, while the house would survive the political turmoil of the 18th century colonial period, Oliver Hall would not. So it got burned down. Historians believe the Judge Oliver likely had the Oliver House built as a wedding present for his son, Peter Oliver Jr. Still, the judge's son was no layabout himself. Peter Oliver Jr. was a respected doctor, and his bride, Sally Hutchison, was Governor Thomas Hutchison's daughter. Sadly, their time in the house would be relatively short-lived. The Oliver family strongly disapproved of the colonial rebellion, remaining firm loyalists to the British crown. Letters leaked between Governor Hutchison and the Oliver clan in correspondence with English authorities proposing an increased military presence in the colonies, an ultimatum issued by the Sons of Liberty to abandon their loyalties or leave, along with intimidation from angry mobs, eventually encouraged the Oliver family to flee back to England. In 1774, the Sons of Liberty confiscated the Oliver House, auctioning off its valuables and the estate, and used the money to fund the seeds of the Revolutionary War. The larger Oliver Hall suffered a worse fate, being burned into the ground by revolutionaries.
Oh.
Isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm. That is wild. Oh, shoot. Nate, you got anything?
No, nothing that we haven't already discussed. Just a lot of people saying there's definitely a lot of energy in there. Not that everyone's going to see a full apparition, but a lot have. A lot of child death. So hearings of like pitter-patter of feet and kids playing.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like there's quite a bit there.
Yeah. I've got a little article here from a investigative team and their experiences. Says, we have had some very interesting experiences during our 4 hour or 4+ hours at the house, including encountering shadow people in the basement. That'd be cool. We were also getting some interesting responses while attempting spirit communication through the Estes method, as you said, and trying out old school techniques like mirror scrying. Throughout the night, we often heard footsteps and voices in other parts of the house when we knew it was just the four of us, all in the same room. That were the only ones occupying the building. We even did a session with the Ouija board from 1909, a Ouija board from 1909, in which we supposedly communicated with Bethania Sprout, the woman of the house, in the 1800s. It says, when Christy Parrish, who manages the estate, asked if Bethania had any messages for us, the board spelled out, God loves you.
Aww.
Which was a nice, pleasant way to end our evening of investigation. At around 11:30 p.m., we called it quits, and Parrish locked up the house, as she always does, including barring the basement door from the upstairs with a wooden bar that slides through some iron brackets. What was really interesting, however, is what the security cameras captured the next morning. Just before 7:30 a.m. Saturday morning, the camera in the old kitchen of the house captured what appears to be the wooden bar sliding out of the iron holder completely on its own with a loud bang as the wood hits the floor. In the seconds following that, voices can be heard on the recording, although it's hard to make out what they were saying. Parrish went back to the house on Monday to pack up some Christmas decorations and made the following video to further explain how implausible it was for that bar to have dropped on its own without some kind of force causing it to happen.
Mm.
Wow.
That's cool. That's a, so, I'd say that's a productive investigation.
Would it be super scary if the Ouija board said, God loves you, but I don't?
Like, yeah.
This is interesting. It says, why do these persistent hauntings occur with such prominence at the Oliver House? One theory pertains to its location, which we talked about this earlier. Mm-hmm. The house lies in the heart of Bridgewater Triangle, a 200 square mile stretch where strange events happen in high occurrences. The energy of this location is strong, seemingly undulated by the fact that this important house has remained in private ownership for so long, only becoming open to the public less than a decade ago. When the city acquired it, after passing through many hands, a descendant of its original owners bought the house in 1945. It remained in the Oliver family once again until 2015 when Middleborough bought it. I think that Bridgewater Triangle, you know, you guys have heard of that before. Mm-hmm. It says, while traveling the highways and byways of Massachusetts, keep in mind that in this state has otherworldly components known as the Bridgewater Triangle. The Bay State is more than just history. It's more than pilgrims and Red Sox. Twilight, I know it's hard to believe. Twilight, creatures of nightmares and shadowy figures lurking in the deep recesses of the woods are also part of this rugged landscape. This region of New England is imbued with unearthly activity, and it has... it was even before the first Europeans arrived, the Wampanoag, like you said, Todd, the native peoples of this region recognized the uncanny presence through their lands, but this activity seemed to be focused particularly in this area. This was a place of unexplained activity and the abode of the dead. The deceased would be placed within these places in hopes that they would continue in the rhythm and flow of the universe. Keeping this in mind, even Aboriginal peoples believed that certain areas were more haunted than others, and at its center was the, what was called the Hockomock Swamp.
Hockomock.
So, yeah. The place of the dead.
I like it.
I think that's cool. Yeah, that whole Bridgewater Triangle is just, I mean, it's spooky anyway.
It's fascinating.
Talk about, yeah. But it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I'd agree. What else we got on the Oliver House?
We're going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially from that investigative team.
Catching a Sox game.
Some good activity.
Some good food.
Oh, yeah. Catch a Red Sox game.
Heck yeah.
We're in. I'm down. I'm down.
You're totally down, right?
I'm down, yeah. Might as well. Right? I'd be in heaven.
Can't dance, right? That's what my grandfather used to say.
Can't dance?
I might as well can't dance.
Yeah. It was funny. Well, if that's all we got on Oliver House, that was good. Good information. Nate, it's your turn.
This one's Oliver Dunn. That's a wrap.
That was an Oliver twist, right?
Look at Sean.
Look at him go. Little Charles Dickens.
There you go.
Chucky D.
Well, thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our Middle-Aged Mini 216 and our discussion on the Oliver House in Boston. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.